Well, let's check in now with Julian Zelizer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton. He's been helping us navigate this pandemic and racial reckoning moment from an historical perspective. And Julian, one through line seems to be some states looking for more direction from the federal government on COVID-19, looking for less on racial justice protests. Portland, Oregon, we know, suing to stop those camouflaged federal troops that are policing protests there. And now the president is threatening to deploy them to Chicago and other cities run by Democrats, he says, have lost control of their cities. Is this making you think of any other time?
No, it's making me think of the difference with other times. We've had federal authorities going in after natural disasters. We've had it when governors have requested assistance, like during the 1967 riots or in 1992 in Los Angeles after the riots, or when the state government isn't obeying the law, such as with school desegregation in the South. Today, what we're seeing is this threat of blanket use of federal troops in cities without a clear rationale and where no one's really asking for it. So I think a difference is more interesting than the similarities.
Yeah, but even when someone is asking for it, yesterday we mentioned Kent State. Now, Richard Nixon did not send the guard who ended up shooting and killing four students there. It was the Ohio governor and the local mayor who had asked for the National Guard. But Nixon was blamed. You know, can you see other moments in history that President Trump might want to be thinking about as a cautionary tale?
Well, sure. Once the troops are there, we don't know what happens. And I remember there's a conversation with Lyndon Johnson when the riots are happening in 67. He's actually scared about sending federal authorities into New York or Detroit because he realizes ultimately it can make things worse, exacerbate the tensions, and the blame would ultimately fall on him. So he might want to hear some of the LBJ tapes if he wants to kind of think about how this could unfold. But again, in that case, it was still a response, where here he's proactively almost threatening to send troops in to a situation that doesn't clearly warrant it.
Now, speaking of LBJ, well, we noticed a tweet that you sent over the weekend. You wrote, "When I teach students about moments like the Gulf of Tonkin Resolution in 1964, they can never understand how our elected officials made such disastrous decisions. Well, here we go again." Now, you were referring to the handling of COVID-19. But Gulf of Tonkin Resolution, this is when the U.S.-backed South Vietnamese were just flailing, in danger of losing the conflict there to the communist-backed Viet Cong. U.S. officials petrified of a domino effect, losing other areas. This resolution was based on a trumped-up incident that was said to have happened in the Gulf. It gave Johnson war powers. Flesh that out. How is that viewed now?
Yeah, I mean, it was an attack that even Lyndon Johnson privately admitted it wasn't clear what happened. He used that. He got authority to use force. Almost everyone in Congress supported it. And then we look back and this turned into a totally disastrous war, an unnecessary war. And students often want to know, how could everyone have made that mistake? How could we have accepted such a mistaken government policy to do that? And I think if you read the recent coverage in the New York Times of the reopening debates within the White House and the push to reopen quickly and unsafely, it really resonates with that. And in some ways, the inaction we're seeing from many government officials, including members of Congress, to correct this course. We're heading into our own quagmire, and presidential decisions have mattered to why we're here in July.
Mm-hmm. Quagmire, that was the word that gave, so many political leaders, the heebie-jeebies then, because that's what they got into. We've got 1 minute here, and I know you want to spend it on a few words about John Lewis.
He was an American hero. He showed how grassroots activists can change what happens in Washington and can change what Washington does about social problems, and he is an enduring reminder that the moral conscience of a party matters, and he promoted the principle of social justice and made it central to Democratic politics. And I think he will not be forgotten for everything from Selma to his time in Congress.
Julian Zelizer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton. His new book, by the way, Burning Down the House, Newt Gingrich, The Fall of a Speaker and the Rise of the New Republican Party. We'll link you to our conversation at hereandnow.org. Julian, thanks as always.
Thanks for having me.